everyone, this is Yawande, founder of Zora Digital. Welcome to episode 9 of Zora Talks, where we sit down with founders and companies in the healthy lifestyle space. For this episode, I spoke to Regine Rousseau, founder of Shelby Wine, a wine marketing company that helps brands grow. Regine and I spoke about the health benefits of wine, upcoming drink trends, and the best wines for the holidays. Thank you, Regine, for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to jump right in. This is a really exciting topic for me because it's all about wine.
And we should be drinking some, but we're not.
That's what I said. Yeah, I said you should have brought some. I was thinking about that too. That's okay. It's never too early for wine.
Word.
Yes. So can you tell us a little bit about what Shelby Wine is and the story behind it?
Yeah, so Shelby Wine is, we function a couple of different ways. I was going to give you my elevator pitch, but let me talk to you like you're a human being. So it's a, we're sort of a marketing company. We work with wine spirits brands, and we help them grow their influence in a couple of different ways. So we provide in-store demos. So those are the people that you see at your favorite retail, liquor store demoing wines. We do corporate events. We also do pop-ups. Beyond that, I write about wine, so I have a blog, I have a book, and I also do some media work where you'll see me on some local television shows talking about, you know, my favorite wines and making wine recommendations. So Shelby Wine is about the entire drinking experience, adult drinking experience, and we just take it to a lot of different venues.
Cool. Yeah, I think I've seen you on Windy City Live a few times.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been doing this?
Shall We Wine or the TV part?
Shall We Wine.
Wow, that's kind of an interesting question, because originally I started the company in 1997 when I was selling wine. So while I was selling wine, I figured out that what I love to do is introduce consumers to wine. So I would do this pop-up events where, you know, it would be a wine tasting. That was a lot of fun. And then really, I didn't know back then how to monetize it, how to really publicize what I was doing. And this was pre, Eventbrite. I can't even remember what system came in, around that time. So anyway, I had to go around selling tickets, okay? Can you imagine driving? I have a pop-up event. I had to stop by people's offices and
Give them 10.
Yes, that was not fun. Yeah, and it was not sustainable. Yeah. So although I loved it, I really didn't know then how to really make it work. And so long story short, I left the business in about 2000, 2001, but never gave up my passion for wine. So I did events for people. I learned about wine. And fast forward to 2013, I got the gift of a lifetime. I got laid off, and I got, I was prepared for the layoff, right? So I did the smart thing where I gave up my luxury apartment. I paid off my debts. I went and moved to a smaller apartment and really gave myself a chance to succeed. And so I thought about what I wanted to do, and it kept coming back to wine. And so that's when I relaunched Shall We Wine. So when people ask me how long have I been doing it, it can be two dates. It could be 97, 98, or it could be 2013, 2014, depending on how you look at it.
You started doing it full time.
Yeah.
That's a great story. And so overall, what made you fall in love with wine? Why did you get that passion in the first place?
Yeah, so I went, when I was a senior in college, I did a study abroad program. So I'm from Haiti. I was born in Chicago, but grew up in Haiti. My parents are Haitian. Okay. So Creole was my first language, and French, really. So I decided that, I need to brush up on my French. I was good enough to pass and not have to take it in college, but not comfortable. So I went to do a study abroad program, and I was invited to have dinner with one of the host families. And I love this story because till this day, I have no idea why they invited me, mm-hmm. but they did, and was welcomed into one of the most beautiful homes I've seen. Like, beautiful, you know, like glass walls. They were living in the middle of a forest. The place was amazing, right? Uh-huh. So we walk into the dining room, and there's all these bottles of wine on the table. And really, to be honest, it might have been like 6 bottles, but in my mind, it was 14, right? It was just
100.
It was 100, right?
Wine.
Right. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are these people doing?
Yeah.
And the father owned a wine shop. And as his guest, he wanted to introduce me to wines of Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did this presentation where, you know, he would pour a little bit, talk about the wine. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is the coolest experience of my life, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the moment that I really fell in love with wine. I don't think I understood it, but I fell in love with the culture of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Like, since that moment, I've just been hooked.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't know what you want to do until you see it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think people aren't exposed to different types of careers. So it's so awesome that you got the opportunity to experience it and actually like latched onto it.
Yeah.
And said, this is going to be something that I pull into my life and do for my life. Yeah, I don't think you see a lot of people of color in this space. Is mm-hmm. that something that is like... you see a lot in your travels, in your world as an entrepreneur in this space?
Yeah, you know what? It's so funny because there's a lot of talk right now about diversity in wine and, you know, people of color in wine and positions for people. So part of me says yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
No, when you look at the numbers, there aren't a lot of people of color who work in the space.
Mm-hmm.
However, because there's such an interest in it, I've seen a lot more now. So there are, and because of the internet, we can find each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1997, 98, when I was selling wine,
mm-hmm.
I thought I was the only one. Now I realize there were some others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with the internet, we have different groups and
mm-hmm.
and someone is like, oh yeah, and you know, in 97, I was working for this person. So to answer your question.
So they were in it, you guys weren't able to connect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm seeing a lot of, you know, bloggers,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are traveling around wine, a lot of people of color. So I think the numbers are growing. And the more of us that are seen, the more people get interested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the holidays approach, you know, I think everyone's thinking about wine. So are there any seasonal wines that you would recommend for people preparing for the holidays that you would recommend?
Wow, there are so many. So if you go to my Instagram at Shall We Wine, I do a wine of the week. Every week I feature a brand new wine. So that's a great way of getting a little information and sort of testing to see if it's something that might fit your palate. Also, I'm doing a few television segments now where I focus on wines for the fall and wines for specifically for Thanksgiving. But to answer your question, you know, my recommendations are a little bit different from what most people would recommend. So I'm going to break it down to you in two parts, right? So if I'm sitting at home, or let's say you're coming over tonight, you know, it's like, you know, just the two of us and we want to chat, I'm going to pick, because it's cold outside, a little heavier, fuller body wine.
Mm-hmm.
So I may pick like a Napa Cabernet. I may pick like a Barolo from Italy. I want something dense that's going to like kind of set the mood for chilling and talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the holidays, since we're all, you know, most of us are entertaining,
mm-hmm.
for entertaining, I actually like to pick lighter, brighter wines, because what they do to me is they lift the spirits. So
mm-hmm.
that's when I go to my sparkling wines, you know, champagne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of a wine called Crema de Alsace, which is a sparkling wine from the Alsatian region, from the Alsace region in France. Those are really lively, bright wines, soft bubbles, so very approachable and good
mm-hmm.
with food. Also, you know, this is a great time to serve Pinot Noirs to your guests, right? Pinot Noirs are lighter style red wines, especially I like Pinot Noirs from Oregon. So to answer your question, I think I look at wines as a mood enhancer, right? So you want to go deep, go with a deep wine.
Right.
Like you want to go
light. Those deep conversations.
Right. You know, get you a Manhattan.
Yes.
Right? If for as a cocktail. But if you're serving a lot of people, I say something like cheery with good acidity, and that tends to like, you know, lifting, that tends to lift the mood a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to get the name of that wine that you mentioned.
Which one?
With the long name, the champagne.
Oh, so, yeah.
And we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's Cremant d'Alsace. It's a sparkling wine.
Try it.
Okay.
I want to try it.
I got you.
So I did have a question, though, because when I think of champagne, I think of white wines. Mm-hmm. Are there any red champagnes?
No.
Okay.
So, okay, champagne, to understand... Sparkling wine is the category, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's typically all wines that have sparkle, that have bubbles, right? I'm being cautious because, well, let's just say all wines with sparkling, okay? But champagne has to come from the Champagne region in France, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says champagne on the bottle.
Okay.
If it comes from Spain, for example,
mm-hmm.
it would say cava.
Okay.
That means that even though it might be made like champagne, it comes from a different grape, okay? And it's also not regulated in the same way. So champagne is different from cava, from cremant, from prosecco, even though they're all sparkling. Makes sense?
Yeah, so this is very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So would you think champagne is a better quality grape?
Yeah. So,
typically?
So champagne is made from Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Meunier. Okay, it could be a blend of the three, it could be just one, or it could be two, but those are the three grapes that you'll find in champagne. I'm hesitant to say that it's a better quality.
Okay.
Because I think that there are great qualities in each one of those categories.
Yeah.
The reason that champagne is more expensive is because of the regulation, right, on how it's made, the aging requirements, so it's aged longer.
Okay.
And it's also just really more difficult to make. So that's why it's more expensive.
All right. And so I would like to also take a step back and talk a bit about health benefits. I know there's a lot of controversy around health benefits of wines. You'll read some sources that say it's good for you, and then you might read another source that says it's bad for you. Since we're a blog about healthy lifestyle, I did just want to touch on that subject. So what are your thoughts on it? Some experts say you should have a glass of wine every day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
So, yeah, I think you should.
Right?
Well, here's the thing. I think it should if it's right for your health, you know, your overall health, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who can't for whatever reason. I have a friend who is only allowed to have maybe one a week. I'm not really sure what she's going through, but, you know, her doctors have recommended that she does not partake in alcohol. Okay, so you have to do what makes sense for you.
Okay.
But red wines, I know that red wines, because of the high antioxidant, there's a component in the skin of wines called resveratrol, which has been known to be good for the heart.
Yeah.
And that's why red wine is recommended. I say this, even though this is my industry, everything balance and everything in moderation. So do I have a glass every day? Actually, I don't. Most people are surprised by that.
Yeah.
I have weeks where I might have a glass every day. I have weeks where I might not drink at all.
Yeah.
And then I have an event and I have two or three, you know, glasses.
Yeah.
But you have to do what makes sense for you. And I do know that because of the antioxidants, red wines are highly, highly recommended.
Yeah, I mean, when I go out, that's what I always kind of shoot for, because I'm like, at least I can get some of those antioxidants in. And yeah, I've heard of that resveratrol.
Yep.
Yeah, because a while back, I remember it being sold in Costco's.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, again, I've read some mixed opinions about resveratrol and its benefits. But it was cool. It was interesting because it was coming up in a lot of different products. So there were selling pills, like as a vitamin. There was a skincare line that actually had it in the in their skincare.
Okay.
So but yeah, that's one of the ingredients in the skin of red wine that's said to have some health benefits to it.
All right. Okay. Cool.
So I'm healthy as hell.
Right. Yes. I'm sure you have a big stash in your studio and
yeah, it's kind of depleting right now because this is a season where I do a lot of events. And so I was looking at my shelf and I was like, ooh, it's time for somebody to send me some gifts.
And I'm sure they're coming.
I hope so.
It's around that time. So you mentioned that you do a wine of the week, I believe you said, on your Instagram. And so how else do you engage your customers, your consumers online?
Wow, that's a great question. So we, you know, the wine of the week is really the anchor. We also do cocktail demos, and we try to ask our followers to give us some feedback and give us some ideas of what they're interested in seeing, what they're interested in me talking about. In addition to that, I mentioned the blog. The blog is more educational, where I try to find, I try to answer questions that I think that my my followers have. You know, one of my favorite ones recently was when I talked about Moscato, because there's a lot of controversy about around Moscato, and some people think it's just a cheap wine and it's just a sweet wine, but it's not. There's a lot of really beautiful, complex Moscatos coming out of Italy from an area called, so you look for Moscato the Asti. So that's like, that's a really, like, really well-respected wine that's gorgeous. And so I wanted people to understand that it's not just the cheap wines that are like flooding the market. There are lots of great Moscatos out there. I did one recently in my newsletter. So we have a newsletter where I break down sake. You know, a lot of people don't understand sake, like how to serve it, what's a good sake, what's a bad one. So those are the really three points: social media, the blog, as well as the newsletter.
Okay. And so who do you consider your customer or your consumer?
Yeah, so I'm finding that it's predominantly women, so 60, about 60% women between the ages of 35 and 55. That seems to be the sweet spot for me. And it's really mixed. I have a lot of African-American women who follow me, obviously because I'm Black. But when I look at who engages me for private events, it's really mixed. It's African-American and non-African-American women. And then I would say the rest is men. And the men are a little bit older. I would say between 45 and 60 is what we see in our numbers.
Okay. And you say that. And so are you trying to sell wine to those people? Or is your revenue model to get money from the actual wine companies?
So I don't sell wine at all.
Okay.
You know, so, and I thank you for asking that question because that's a mistake that people make because of what I do. So really, the brand, it depends on what I'm doing. So if I'm doing an activation at an in-store level, I am hired by a distributor or an importer to do that work, okay? If I am doing the wine of the week, those are wines that I just like and I think are super interesting. And some of those wines could be clients, and some of those wines could be a wine that someone introduced me to, a wine that someone sent me. So those are just more of my own opinions.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's really good because a lot of times when you think of influencers, you want them to be authentic. And you don't necessarily want them to endorse a product just because they're getting paid for it.
So I disagree with that.
Really?
Let me tell you what I think. I think that influencers are only representing brands that they want. That's what the authenticness is, right? So if a client calls me and says, hey, you know, I want you to try my wines and I want I want to engage you to do an event for me, right? If I don't like the wines, I'm not going to accept that, right? It's just like that would not be authentic.
Yeah.
But if I like the wines then of course I'm going to accept the gig, mm-hmm. and of course I should be compensated for my time.
Right.
So I think that people really misunderstand influencers. Like, I was just reading about Facebook ads,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So people think that if you put an ad on Facebook, that Facebook is just, you're paying Facebook to push the ad out. It's just
right.
that simple.
Yeah.
But from what I've read, and you're the expert, so you might have a different perspective, but from what I understand is Facebook pushes it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if people don't, if the ad doesn't resonate with people,
yeah.
they're not going to share it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, there's nothing disingenuous about being paid for being an influencer. I think that influencers have to protect their brand by saying yes to brands that align with what they do. And
yeah.
that's what the best influencers do.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in terms of Facebook, there's actually this relevancy score tells how much you're gonna, how many impressions you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also tells how much you're gonna pay for the ads. And
mm-hmm.
so if your relevancy score is too low,
mm-hmm.
you won't get seen by as many people.
Right.
And so you wanna make sure that your ad is gonna connect with whoever you're targeting, so you're exactly right. And I do agree with you in terms of the influencers. I think the only thing that I like is if an influencer is not always promoting a product that they're being paid for. And that's what I was saying. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of great that you're not always being
oh,
paid
sure.
for it. And there's that passion behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people look at your recommendations, they know that they're authentic because you're not always like, pay post, you know?
Yep.
These are actually products that you probably use every day or that you would use regardless of if you're going to get paid or not.
Absolutely. I mean, look, my business model is, I'm very fortunate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm solo. So I really get to choose to work with brands that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I'm a small guy, a girl, the brands that are going to
mm-hmm.
want to work with me
mm-hmm.
are brands that I resonate with, right? And it's going to
mm-hmm.
be sort of the smaller, the boutique, the mom and pop. And so I'm really in a fortunate position. Now, there are some big brands that I would love to work with. And I endorse them because
mm-hmm.
the wines are you know, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm in a position where I don't have to say yes to everything. Thank you, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I also don't knock people who do. We
mm-hmm.
all have different business models. I'm just fortunate that the brands that I love want to work with me and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know we covered it a little bit, but
yeah.
I did want to go back to the sparkling wines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that a lot of the sparkling wines are champagne, but are there any red versions of sparkling wines?
Oh, I'm so sorry. You did ask me that and I forgot. So just to make sure, your question was, is there a red champagne? No.
No, yeah.
There's a rosé. Okay.
Okay.
So in terms
or,
of...
Or a red sparkling.
Yeah. So in terms of red sparkling
mm-hmm.
wines, yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find them in different area. Like I recently tasted a sparkling Malbec. I can't remember the producer's name, but I can look
mm-hmm.
for it.
Mm-hmm.
There is, Lambrusco out of Italy.
Okay.
So that's a sparkling red wine. So if you like sparkling, a little bit
mm-hmm.
bolder red wines, I would definitely recommend some Lambruscos.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
cool. And so I'm going to also ask you, like, when you go into the grocery store, like say I'm going into Whole Foods, there's so many options.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend that we have a plan before we go in, or is there a way that if we're making an impulse decision to find the right selection?
Yeah, so I wish so here's what I would say. I
mm-hmm.
always tell my clients, my private clients, when you see somebody demoing wine at a store,
mm-hmm.
Whole Foods, Mariano's, Binny's, wherever,
mm-hmm.
taste something,
mm-hmm.
right? They're
mm-hmm.
only by law allowed to give you less than an ounce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taste something,
because mm-hmm.
that's the only way you're going to know what you like,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I try to promote what I call conscious drinkers, right? Don't just put anything in your mouth. So if you go to a party
mm-hmm.
and someone's serving, you know, there's a bartender there or you're someone's house, take a look at the label, especially if you like it. That way, when you're in a situation like Whole Foods and you're trying to make a quick decision,
mm-hmm.
you remember, oh, wow, I really liked that Pinot Gris from Oregon. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I really like that Merlot from Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just go to the Merlot section and pick another one from Washington State.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you're going to love it the same, but at least it gives you some indication.
Which you start to like.
Exactly. So pay attention to what you're drinking, which a lot of people don't, which is kind of weird to me because I'm like, you're drinking it, you're putting it in your body, right? Pay attention to what it is.
So one more question on that. And so do you feel like if the wine costs more money, it tastes better?
No, not at all. If you like it. That's okay. All that matters.
Yeah.
I have friends who love some $5 wines, and great. You like it, I love it. You know, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah. I might not drink it, but if you love it, great.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm probably not going to drink it.
Oh, man. Okay, so I do want to ask you, in addition to Instagram, what other platforms are you most active on social media?
Oh, Facebook. Facebook was really where I got my start. I actually prefer Facebook to Instagram in a lot of ways because mm-hmm. I feel like I have gotten to know people more on mm-hmm. Facebook. There are deeper mm-hmm. conversations. I love I'm really trying to learn more. I have help. I have social mm-hmm. media help mm-hmm. About how to, mm-hmm. to work with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But I get more clients from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who say Facebook are dead. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I get a lot mm-hmm. of work from Facebook. But I'd love to do more on Twitter. I would really like to do more on Twitter, but I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Lord.
What?
No,
like,
it's just one more thing to do.
Right,
so it's
right.
just,
yeah.
you know, you have yeah. to sort of, as a business owner, as a solo entrepreneur, I feel like there's a lot that I could do,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just sort of taking everything in segments and trying
where
to...
Where the biggest opportunity is.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and to balance. So mm-hmm. we're on all platforms,
mm-hmm.
well, not all, so Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're concentrating more on Instagram and I manage Facebook on my own.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And so do you have a Facebook group or it's just your Facebook business page?
Yeah, so it's my Facebook business page at Shall We Wine.
Mm-hmm.
I have my page, Regine Rousseau, and I just started Regine T. Rousseau so that
mm-hmm.
I can have because of the TV,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to have a Facebook page for me. And then we have, I have a YouTube channel too. So the wines of the weeks are posted on YouTube. And then I have some instruction, you know, videos on YouTube as well.
Okay. So how do you boost the engagement? Do you do any live shows or any other types of tactics like that in order to really get those audiences engaged with you?
So I have done a few live shows on Facebook with other people. Like one of my favorite ones with two of my mentors, they're known as the World Wine Guys. And so when my book was published, we did a Facebook Live to introduce my audience and their audience to my book, which is Searching for Cloves and Lilies. So that was great.
Searching for Cloves?
Cloves.
Cloves.
And
Searching
lilies.
For Cloves and Lilies.
Yes.
Okay, you have to tell us the meaning behind that.
Yeah, the wine edition. But so that went really well. And then I did an interview with a friend of mine, Israel Green, who is a speaker. So those are really the only two. We will do some more on Instagram, but I wanted to get the following up
mm-hmm.
Before I started doing some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a new segment that I'll be posting on my own Instagram page that really goes deeper into the meaning behind the book.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we have to tune into that because that title sounds very interesting.
It is. It's intriguing. It's
yeah.
intriguing. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we'll have to tune into that. You have to let us know when that airs.
Okay.
And you know, it just actually made me start thinking with Black History Month coming up next year, February. Have you ever thought about highlighting any African American wineries or brands that are led by African Americans?
Absolutely. So last year we featured brands by African Americans in my newsletter, but I do it all the time. So if you go to, first of all, in the book, I think I have four African American winemakers. I have Theopolis Vineyard, I have Vision Cellars, I have, Mac McDonald's Vision Cellars, but I have Andre Houston Mack. So, you know, the wines are great. They're delicious. They're amazing. And so they're part of my desire to feature really great wines, mm-hmm. right? And they just happen to be African Americans. Mm-hmm. But I feature them on my Instagram, mm-hmm. my book, my blog. So yeah, absolutely. But I do highlight African Americans in February. But I'm highlighting them all the time because right. it's just good.
There's a
it's
lot
just
of good wines. Out
yeah,
there.
They're just great wines. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to ask you as we start wrapping up is, how do you think the wine industry will change as time goes on?
I'm not sure I know what you mean by that question. What do you mean?
I know we interviewed someone that has a antioxidant liqueur. And so, like, there's, you know, these Rhone berries in the liqueur. Mm-hmm. So just wondering if you see any kind of, like, trends emerging in the wine industry.
Got it. So, well, the big question now is how is the pot being legalized, marijuana being legalized, how that's going to impact? Are we going to see an infusion of, like, you know, wines with marijuana? I think that actually exists already.
So I
know that that's one trend. It's mm-hmm. not something that I'm an expert on, but definitely willing to taste.
Okay.
I'm available for that.
Wine tasting.
Hey, okay. You know, if I'm going to be an expert, I need to be an expert.
Right, all in.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's a little scary in mm-hmm. terms of the wine world right now, to me anyway, is how some of the smaller brands are being consumed by larger companies, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I just wonder what's going to happen in terms of, you know, the small family owned, and how that's going to affect the taste of wine. Mm-hmm. So some of the larger companies, you know, they're creating wines based on very specific profiles.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of the smaller guys are just like, you know, let's express the vintage, let's express, you know, what happened this year. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that's more my concern, is what's going to happen. You know, are the smaller guys going to be able to still exist, you know, financially? Are they going to get the kind of attention that they need mm-hmm. to sell their products? So I think that is really the concern that I have, and what I'm looking to see what happens with that trend.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and do you think, like, when the smaller guys go away, that there's gonna lose some of that authenticity and kind of like uniqueness that they bring?
Yeah, I'm hoping what will happen is that the companies that have the billions of dollars, who are interested in absorbing the small guys, do it in a way where they support the the artists, right? They allow them to do what they do well, but maybe give them the financial backing and the advertising that they need to really sell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, and I think that trend is going on in all industries.
Yep.
The big guys are gobbling up the small guys.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they recognize that that's what makes them valuable, is
right.
their smallness. And so they let them kind of run the way they did before they were acquired. And hopefully the same thing happens in the wine industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's next for Shelby Wine?
Woo-wee, so many things. It's crazy. It's busy. What's next? I mean, we are in our busy season now, but we're looking to 2020. What we're going to do in 2020 that we didn't do a lot of in 2019 is our pop-ups again. You know, our followers have been asking, we want more events. So we're definitely mm-hmm. going to do some quarterly pop-ups at different restaurants and different spaces.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, and then I told you we're going to... So my book, Searching for Cloves and Lilies, is a book of original poems.
Mm-hmm.
And the poems, each poem is paired with a wine.
Oh, okay.
So we spent 2018...
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very well received. Mm-hmm. So we spent 2018 and part of 2019 doing a book tour. But now we're going to take that concept to our Instagram page. That's going to be on my Regine T. Rousseau page, and really going to talk a little bit about poetry and wine and how it works, and really talk, it really start some conversation around some of the poems in the book.
Okay, yep. So not only are you a wine connoisseur, but you're also a poet.
Oh, I'm multifaceted, girl.
I like it. I'm impressed. And so are there any upcoming events you want to share other than the ones you already did?
Not for 2019. Everything I have now are private events for corporate events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And this has been a really fun conversation. But I do have to say, next time we're going to have to get some wines in here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to meet later at night.
Yes.
We learned a lot about drinking and selecting a wine in this episode, while at the same time touching on some of the health benefits of conscious drinking. Regine also shared her perspective on how to build a community online with Facebook and Instagram. Thank you again, Regine. And thank you, listeners, for joining us this year in our goal of bringing in a community of visionaries dedicated to making the world healthier. Be sure to follow us on social media at Zora Digital. Talk up, talking up is what Zora Talks is all about. Happy holidays, listeners. We'll be back in January 2020 for episode 10 of Zora Talks. Zora Digital is a digital marketing consulting firm based in Chicago. We help healthy lifestyle brands with a spirit of innovation navigate the digital landscape and create significant ROI.